Then this is the beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure. Number 127 on B, on page 503. And we are into researching Initiation Human and Solar and a Treatise on Cosmic Fire, looking for the nature of the initiation through which our planetary logos passes, because we're dealing with sacred planets, and we are told that a planetary logos is not the planetary logos of a sacred planet unless he has taken five. That spiritual life, that logos has taken five of the major cosmic initiations. And so we've been discriminating what makes a major cosmic initiation, what makes a initiation for planetary logos, what makes a lesser series of initiations. Our planetary logos is passing through a lesser series of initiations, seven, and it's four, it's on the fourth of those, and has only taken the second cosmic initiation, and we're wondering whether in Lemuria, at the individualization process, the planetary logos somehow took the first cosmic initiation. Just the way there are solar systems in which a solar logos would not take initiation at all, so in a planetary scheme there are probably chains on which a planetary logos would not take initiations at all. It seems that four solar systems have had to elapse before this, in this fifth and major second solar system, initiation is possible at all. For our planetary logos, it rather looks as if perhaps three chains had to run their process before, in this fourth chain, initiation is possible, at least the greater initiations. You kind of wonder whether lesser initiations in the lesser series might not have been taken in connection with some of those earlier chains. Well, we're involved, as I said, into secrets of initiation, where we're sort of knocking at the door tentatively and saying, what's this all about? At least if we can put forward what we don't know, then we have a chance of filling it in. Because every area of ignorance, when concentrated upon through the proper questions, is an invocation to the answer. So at least if we define what we don't know and what pieces of information are missing, then we may be invoking those pieces of information. So man is becoming inclusive in the planetary sense. DK is telling us that this definition that a planetary logos is one who's taken the fifth major cosmic initiation is only adequate if we think about initiation as a process of developing inclusiveness. And we've been told here that man is becoming inclusive in the planetary sense. The five major initiations, which he eventually takes, gives him a range of awareness which is infinitely beyond anything of which he can conceive at present. And we question, are we dealing with the fifth initiation as the climax of this series, or the seventh? These initiations endow him with the freedom of the planet. As a master, does he have the freedom of the planet? Maybe he does. He is then responsive to all states of consciousness within the planetary ring, past not, and is becoming sensitive to extraplanetary perception. To a degree, to me, the five major initiations, in this case, the end of the five major initiations seems like the seventh initiation. Because the man is sensitive to all states of consciousness within the planetary ring past not. If we mean the planetary scheme, then the fifth degree initiate is not sensitive to all states of consciousness within the planetary ring past not. So there are major and minor initiations for planetary logos, and hinted at here, or even spoken about explicitly here in Initiation Human and Solar 181, and hinted at in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire 384. Now we go on to say that the logos of a non-sacred planet is becoming inclusive in his consciousness to all that is found within the solar ring past knot. So our Earth is, our Earth logos and the logos of Mars and Pluto, and well, there are probably much lesser planets that are really non-sacred, but these are the three most familiar non-sacreds, as well as maybe two which are veiled by the sun and the moon. Those logoi are becoming inclusive in relation to all that is found within the solar ring past knot, not just our planet as is man. He is establishing an esoteric understanding relation with all that lives within the body of manifestation of the solar logos, and is likewise registering a sensitive response to the quality of the life which informs the sun, Sirius. He has taken three cosmic initiations. Now, this is a direct contradiction, unless there is an explanation. Because a non-sacred, the logos of a non-sacred planet like our Earth, has not even taken the second cosmic initiation. He's not under emotional control. He's not an illumined being. So what type of initiations are we talking about? And it now appears that in this flexible terminology, a DK refers to the initiations in the lesser series of seven as actually cosmic initiations, because they are initiations on the path of cosmic initiation. Path of cosmic initiation, is that correct? If we go back here to A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 384. Thank goodness for the CD-ROM, right? On the cosmic path, on the cosmic path of initiation. They are initiations on the, let's do it exactly the way he said it, on the cosmic path of initiation. So watch out for how the term cosmic is used in connection with the initiations of the planetary logos, or even solar logos. Because it's quite clear that our planetary logos has taken three initiations. But of what kind? So our planetary logos has taken three initiations. But we considered them to be lesser and did not call them cosmic. But since he is a cosmic being with an egoic lotus on the cosmic mental plane, they could, in a sense, be called cosmic. Then the initiations which are called cosmic on TCF 384 would be called major cosmic initiations. Major. It's just terminology, and you know, we can assume that Master DK intends to be consistent with this terminology, or when he's not, he intends to blind, or he intends to hint. If he gave, I think, what is called a word-for-word proofreading of his book, Esoteric Astrology, as Alice Bailey did not know astrology, says he, then we can assume he has the memory of how he used words. So, as I said, we have words used here, initiations, cosmic initiations, major cosmic initiations. And now what we find is that even the word initiations, which refers to the lesser series, can be called cosmic, because the planetary locus is on the path of cosmic initiation. That's my reason for it anyway. Otherwise, we would not be able to reconcile the statement made here that the logos of a non-sacred planet has taken three cosmic initiations. But he has not taken three major cosmic initiations, and it is the major cosmic initiations which make of him a sacred planet if the fifth of those majors has been passed. Well, we're getting clearer about it, maybe, unless we seem to be contradicting in just a minute. That too is possible. Now going on, the logos of a sacred planet transcends the knowledges, reactions, and responses which are purely those of the solar system. He is conscious of or vitally responsive to the life of Sirius. Well, we want to say this, that the logos of a non-sacred planet is beginning to be responsive to the life of Sirius. Now, only beginning. I think he did say that, didn't he? The registering a sensitive impact to the quality of the life which informs the sun Sirius. Maybe it's to the quality which can be somehow transposed into our solar system. And then he would be contacting other beings who are carrying that quality, but maybe not Sirius itself. Because he cannot go beyond, in a way, the cosmic, the solar systemic ring pass not. Now, the logos of a sacred planet transcends the knowledges, reactions, and responses which are purely those of the solar system, is conscious of or vitally responsive to the life of Sirius. And, you know, we read carefully, not just to the quality of the life of Sirius, because quality can be conveyed by lesser agents of the major source. It looks like the logoi of the non-sacred planets are touching, actually, the major source in some way, and is beginning to respond consciously to the vibratory influences of the Pleiades. So, you know, when your friends, whose ever friends are talking about having Pleiadians in the backyard and having dialogues with them, we understand that the logoi of the planetary, sacred planetary logoi, who are perhaps separated from a master by quite a number of Mahamanvantaras, are only beginning to respond consciously to the vibratory influence of the Pleiades. And in this sense, we are taught that the Pleiades are a greater source and a higher entity than the logos of Sirius, even though Sirius is bringing in principally now the second ray energy, and the Pleiades, at first sight, principally the third, although there is much of the cosmic Buddha there. You need here to bear in mind in this connection, that the Pleiades, though they are regarded as embodying the matter aspect in manifestation, the third aspect, are in reality and literally the expression of the principle of life which we call vitality, prana in its various stages or degrees, ether or substance. Pleiades are etheric, and thus Taurus too is associated with prana, as it is so often in Taurian healers. They have this ability to bring the prana into the patient. They have this particular power. Okay. So this has told us something about the relative status of the Pleiades and Sirius. It seems that non-sacred planets cannot really respond to the Pleiades, and I want to say in any direct manner. Now, they can receive a Pleiadian quality. The logos of a sacred planet has taken five cosmic initiations. Well, here we go. If these cosmic initiations are of the kind which the logos of a non-sacred planet has taken, then they are of a lesser series. And, in fact, Venus, which has taken five, would not be as separated from Earth as it seemed, because Earth logos has taken or is taking four. And this makes sense in a way. I'm not sure we're going to be able to resolve this entirely, but the conversation is pointing towards two different possibilities. Venus, of course, is very far ahead. So the logos of a sacred planet has taken five cosmic initiations. The lesser series are still called cosmic initiations. And the greater initiations are called major cosmic initiations. Now, I suppose there is this confounding thought. Well, no, you see, Venus is Venus and the solar logos is the solar logos. It can be assumed that Venus has taken the second major cosmic initiation, if we call those cosmic initiations from Treatise on White Magic, if we call them major. And it can be assumed that our planet, our solar logos has taken two major cosmic initiations. So in a way, they're both heading towards a major cosmic initiation called number three. But that will not... they'll both take them, but it won't mean that Venus is a solar logos. It's still in its own series, isn't it? So even though the same words are used, we have to realize that the series of initiations are actually different. So it seems to me that the hint is given here a little earlier when it says that the logos of a non-sacred planet has taken, three cosmic initiations. Earth logos has taken three cosmic initiations. So a cosmic initiation in this way of describing them is not the same as a major cosmic initiation. But even the major cosmic initiations are not shared by solar logoi, planetary logoi, and sacred planetary logoi, and man. Major cosmic initiations are different for those two types, that is, planetary logoi and solar logoi. So I'm going to put in purple here. I kind of like that color more these days. The logos of a sacred planet has taken five major cosmic, five cosmic initiations, but not major cosmic initiations. So we're getting a little clearer on this point. I do believe that Venus has taken not only five cosmic initiations in the lesser series, if we call them cosmic, but has tranquilized the astral body, had Buddhicized it in a way, because it talks about Venus refocusing on the Buddhic. Well, it's really on the monadic subplane of the cosmic astral plane. It's on the sixth subplane, counting from below. And can it be that Venus is so advanced that it has even taken, in its own series, 3 cosmic initiations? Because it seems to be in its 5th scheme round. I guess much was expected of Earth, which the Logos of Earth did not yet deliver. And hence the pressure upon us. We're all part of it. We're all part of that planetary Logos. The extreme pressure in the need to overcome the material and formal tendencies of the previous solar system, and incidentally of the moon chain. The Logos of a solar system is esoterically called the sacred triangle of all-inclusive force, all-inclusive of many planets, certainly, because this great being includes within his focused awareness not just extra-systemic contacts like Sirius, but the field of awareness, the fields of expression of the Great Bear, the Pleiades, and Sirius. Now, is he actually touching these entities, or is it their fields of expression that he includes within his focused awareness? That is the question. They are to him what the heart, the head, and the throat centers are to the developed initiates. Well, the throat center, what is the order here? The heart seems to be Sirius, the throat Pleiades, and the head the Great Bear. They are to him what the heart, the head, and the throat centers are to the developed initiate on this planet. So they are major centers of superior force in the development of the one who is still working through a personality and is thus called the initiate. He's not yet a liberated being at the 4th degree. But the developed initiate, this suggests the 3rd degree. He has taken those initiations of which the highest initiate upon our Earth has no faintest conception. So the highest initiate upon our Earth is certainly beyond the 5th, which in a way is the first cosmic initiation because it includes Sirius. But we'll have taken the 2nd cosmic initiation in the human series. It may include the Great Bear or the Pleiades or the one about whom, you know, we can go on and say, well, it can touch, human initiations can touch Sirius. Some influence from Sirius. Then they can touch the influences of the cosmic logos of which Sirius may be a part, and our sun too. Can it touch the one about whom naught may be said? Well, the field of expression of that being, mediated by Devic agencies, attuned to it, but maybe not the sources themselves, probably not the sources themselves. But the this is just another confirmation that those series of cosmic initiations, they bear the name cosmic. They all bear the name cosmic. But they are not the same when we're looking at the human being, the planetary logos, and the solar logos. So this is the solar logos who has taken those initiations of which the highest initiate on our Earth, what? Is that the planetary logos himself? Could he mean this? Is this the planetary logos himself? Has no faintest conception. Forget not that I've told you elsewhere that there are divine aspects and divine characteristics which are as yet totally unrevealed even to the most advanced humanity. Or is the term initiate meaning human initiate? Does this mean human initiate? Because we have certainly initiates here of the seventh degree, eighth degree, maybe even ninth degree, still in association with our Earth. And they know something about the solar ring past knot. They're becoming more aware of what's transpiring within the planet, and maybe the higher initiate within our solar system to a degree, but nowhere near what a non-sacred planetary logos could gather of our solar system and the quality that comes from beyond. And then if you're a sacred planetary logos, you are working beyond the solar system already, quite attuned to Sirius and initially attuned to Pleiades. So you begin to wonder, would the solar logos, who is on the path of the solar logoi, which leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane, and the Pleiades give cosmic Buddhic energy, you wonder, this is what I wonder anyway, as soon as I can find the cursor, is the solar logos now attuning to the energy of the Pleiades, from which cosmic Buddhi comes? Because there's only one path that leads to the cosmic Buddhic plane, and that's the path on which the solar logoi are. And only one being of the... Well, let's see. Let's put it like this. The Pleiades are specifically those that are spoken of in terms of cosmic Buddhi, as are... as is the constellation of the dragon, also spoken of in terms of cosmic Buddhi. Cosmic Atma, I think of the Great Bear, but that's just an inference, I think, tells me it's correct, however. Forget not that I've told you elsewhere that there are divine aspects and divine characteristics which are as yet totally unrevealed, even to the most advanced humanity. No being... human being of a lower degree to that of the third initiation can even faintly sense and dimly react to these underlying factors in the existent divine manifestation. So, hinting that the solar logos is involved with other kinds of divine aspects, of which not even the highest initiate on our planet can conceive. Today, the significance of will and its distinction from determination, strength, and fixed intention is only now beginning to be understood. Just as a discussion of the intuition or the nature of the eternal revelation would be utterly meaningless to the savage in the darkest part of the undeveloped areas of the world, so would a discussion of these unknown divine attributes be equally meaningless to us. Of course, we can't conceive that it would be meaningless because we live within our own limitations and know nothing else. We have no non-limited state to contrast it with. That is the great guarantee or the seal of consciousness. We don't know what we're missing, and we tend to interpret everything in terms of what we do know. So the solar logos may be involved with attributes which are entirely meaningless to us, just the way these words, intuition and eternal revelation, would be utterly meaningless, he says to the undeveloped one, the savage. Well, that's interesting that word is related to wisdom, sauvage. But that's another matter. In the darkest part of the undeveloped areas of the world, all that you can comprehend, and that with the utmost difficulty, is the three divine aspects, will, love, and intelligence. Well, there's probably always going to be seven, aren't there? There are others, for our logos is a sevenfold being, and four remaining aspects are as yet unrevealed to humanity, though sensed by hierarchy. So interesting that the, so they're called aspects. Are they aspects or attributes? That is the question, because we have names for the other four attributes, and we call the highest three qualities aspects. We have harmony and mind and, I don't know, idealism and magic. Those are just some verbal attempts. But are these other four really aspects and not attributes? Otherwise, if they were attributes, we might be able to fathom them somewhat. These are objectives of esoteric spiritual attention by the Logoi within the solar ring past not. But apparently the solar Logos himself can come closer to understanding what they are. Well, I think we have clarified at least some idea about what cosmic initiations can mean when contrasted with major cosmic initiations, and what a non-sacred Logos has achieved, because we know he's achieved three initiations so far, our planetary Logos, but the three are part of a lesser series, and obviously they're being called cosmic. So therefore, we assume that the five cosmic initiations of sacred planets, since our planet is almost sacred, are also part of a lesser series of initiations within the types of initiations they can take, and that there are major cosmic initiations, and I asked, pretty confident that Venus has taken the second of the major cosmic initiations, and also the fifth of the kind called cosmic here, which makes me think that the two and the five, the two of the major cosmic and the five of the simply cosmic or lesser series, correspond. And then, you know, I have a question, is Venus so advanced that in some way it is, in a sense, transfigured and has taken three of the major cosmic initiations? And is its work in its sixth chain, since its sixth chain was involved with our fourth chain, is there some correspondence between the major three and the minor or simply cosmic six? Well, you know, these questions are just not going to be answered. Not immediately. Anyway. You will see, therefore, that the section of our teaching upon which we are now entering, another joke, will be necessarily brief. Dry humor. Necessarily brief, because we shall be dealing with factors which must remain incomprehensible. And I would tend to ask, when dealing with constellational Logoi and superconstellational Logoi, were they not also incomprehensible, or perhaps they're so remote that the little we can comprehend of them makes them seem comprehensible? But these are closer factors. And if we really could comprehend what's going on with the planetary Logoi, we might be more effective right here on our Earth. And there are probably many guarded secrets concerning the planetary Logoi where there's just an impossibility of knowing anything really about the constellational Logoi. Necessarily brief, because we shall be dealing with factors which must remain incomprehensible. It is consequently a waste of your time and mine to do more than touch very briefly upon such matters. But, you know, in the attempt to fill out a greater picture, that's what we're actually trying to do. At least to have our mind extend into the a farther range of consideration, which may give us useful analogies in our own area. So, as DK tells us, we're dealing with a necessarily brief exposition, And he doesn't want to waste our time or his time by attempting to do more. Some understanding of the distinction between a sacred and a non-sacred planet will come if you realize that there is a paralleling correspondence between the initiate, the consciousness of the initiate up to and including the third initiation, and the consciousness of a logos of a non-sacred planet. We're consulting the law of analogy here. Even the third initiation does not make a man a sacred man. That's why it tells us, I think, that our planetary logos is almost a almost a sacred planet, because it's taking a fourth initiation in the lesser series, which has been called cosmic, and very close then to Venus, which has certainly taken five. But then, since Venus is so advanced, has it taken six, which would correspond then to a three major, a third major. Soul and body, consciousness and form are blended, and a definite fusion is taking place. Two divine aspects are in process of intimate relation. So even we human beings who are thinking ahead towards the third degree at some point are going to be non-sacred beings at that point, even though the ancient authority of the personality will be ended. The disciple brings about this relationship within his little system, and the planetary logos on a far larger scale within his range of influence and control. In this process, he carries with him all the four kingdoms of nature. So does a human being who is taking the third degree, carry the lesser kingdoms within his nature, the mineral, vegetable, and animal nature within himself, to a higher level. For both these lives, microcosmic and macrocosmic, and we have to note, that's not what I want. Let's see, where are we? Okay. You don't want to press Control V and have some sort of large amount of text come in. So let's just say that in man, the correspondences to the three lower kingdoms are elevated, or the correspondences correspondent says in man to the four lower kingdoms are elevated. The mineral, the cellular vegetable, the animal body, and the human consciousness, all elevated. For both these lives, microcosmic and macrocosmic, and here we are calling the planetary logos a macrocosm. This fusion produces transfiguration, the third initiation. The logos of a sacred planet has gone beyond this type of transfiguration. This fusion produces transfiguration. Well, maybe solar transfiguration. The normal transfiguration is still one of the three initiations. And the transfigured initiate is corresponding to the non-sacred planet. So the one who has taken the third in a series of lesser initiations is, in a sense, transfigured, but not transfigured cosmically, in terms of the cosmic series of initiations, from which our planetary logos is far away, but maybe the logos of Venus not. So the logos of a sacred planet has carried the divine work further along and is occupied with the task of synthesizing into one unit of consciousness response and activity, the higher divine aspect, that of the monad, the will aspect. But is he occupied with doing this, or has he done it? When this is accomplished, will, love, and intelligence are blended, and spirit, soul, and body are at one, then will the quality of the divine expression be, will be divine purpose, impulsed by will, motivated by love, and carried forward with intelligence. The logos of a sacred planet has carried the divine work further along and is occupied with the task of synthesizing the three aspects of divinity, including the monad. Has he done this? Well, this would be done at a lesser cosmic sixth initiation, because the logos of a sacred planet has taken the lesser fifth, also called cosmic, but not major cosmic. When dealing with the monad, you really have to watch the word major, because even when dealing with the human monad, there is a question about what is really major. There may be a major monadic ray and a lesser monadic ray. This is what I've been thinking lately, looking at the monadic and logoic planes. When this is accomplished, will, love, and intelligence are blended, and spirit, soul, and body are at one. So he's occupied. So the logos, the logos of a sacred planet is occupied in moving from the fifth lesser cosmic to the sixth lesser cosmic, which may, just have to say may, correspond to the third major cosmic in the planetary series of major cosmic initiations. That is a speculation. But as I said, increasingly I begin to think that they don't necessarily, these initiations, lesser and greater, don't, are not necessarily staggered, you know, like this and so forth, but that certain of the major cosmic ones, the ones that are called by that name, correspond with those, some of those in the lesser series. And you kind of wonder whether the, well, if the second corresponds to the fifth, and the third to the sixth, and the fourth major cosmic to the seventh, then what? If that is actually true. Then suppose one is going to take the fifth major cosmic. Is there a correspondence then to any point in a lesser series? It's not something that we have to solve right now, obviously. But in trying to think in this way, you know, just to take the slightest break here, in trying to think in this way, the consciousness will expand. The mind will certainly become capable of more refined abstract thought and be usable in matters that are more practical and of immediate application than the subjects we are now considering. Now, somewhere it tells us that our soul, the Logos, is trying to take the third cosmic initiation. I just want to kind of look that up. I do believe it's cosmic fire where that is taken. Logos, third initiation. Let's see. When the primordial ray of intelligent activity and the divine ray of intelligent love and the third cosmic ray meet and blend, the Logos will take his fifth initiation, thus completing his cycle. Well, Yes, maybe, and elsewhere it tells us it may be the only the fourth. Not sure I can read this. Yes, the solar logos, yes, well, the third cosmic initiation. Okay. But it's something about mental polarization. That's what I was looking at. Our particular logos is not yet mentally polarized. He's more an astral Buddhic logos. This achieved the logos has triumphed and measured up to the sixth cosmic initiation, just as he should measure up in this system to the fourth. Okay, so we have a contrast with our solar logos either taking the fourth or the fifth. Okay. The number of initiations taken by a planetary logos in this system vary from 2 to 4. How far can we expect our planetary logos to go if he has to assist as the base of the spine center? And the Kundalini repository, our solar logos taking a fifth cosmic initiation in this solar system. Well, let's just see. Solar logos, cosmic, mental. Oh, too many. Initiate. Nothing. Cosmic mental. I think that's too much to look for. Too much. Anyway, I have begun to believe or to entertain as a working hypothesis that our solar logos has not taken the cosmic third, I mean, it's stated, and that this would mean cosmic mental polarization. I wonder if there is such a reference to that. Cosmic mental polarization. One. Oh, well, wouldn't you know it, how lucky we are that we can go to a treatise on cosmic fire, page 512, and have exactly what we need. As the logos is polarized in his cosmic astral sheath, having taken the second, and has not yet attained cosmic mental polarization, his force or desire nature is the main incentive for the subjective life and the lives that underlie the form. And so it means that our solar logos has not yet passed the midway point between the cosmic second and cosmic third, at which cosmic mental polarization would be achieved, just like for man, who has not yet passed the midway point between the second and third initiation, mental, true mental polarization has not yet been achieved. So this is so important that I want to put it in the AAB extracts. If you'll be patient with me, one day if you get them, you will benefit. So this is page 512, and we'll do this solar logos not yet attained cosmic mental polarization. Polarization. And I would just say, you know, forget the third degree, because cosmic mental polarization occurs before the cosmic third degree, just the way a man's true mental polarization occurs before the third degree that a man can experience. So this is TCF 512, and fortunately, or unfortunately, well, we're pretty close. I realize that I have the AAB extracts in more than one place, so I may have missed the boat here and put it in the other place. But all right, that's just a technical matter. So our solar logos has for objective the third cosmic initiation, And we would have to call it major cosmic, because if he's undergoing a series of lesser initiations, they're also going to be called cosmic, if the lesser initiations of a planetary locus are called cosmic. So we have to call them major cosmic. He has for objective his third major cosmic initiation. I'm throwing in the word major. And is not yet cosmic mentally polarized. And I'm going to somehow throw that in. I want to throw that in. Even in this text, if you don't mind. We're right here, and I'm going to make it small, 10, and some different kind of color. Well, solar logos, S-O-L-A-R, and I didn't succeed in the number. I didn't succeed in the color, but we'll make it green or something. Green will do, and we'll also change the font. Something in me doesn't like the Times New Roman anymore. All right, well, we've learned a little bit about our solar logos and possible analogies in our own case. And we've learned something about that towards which a sacred planet is struggling. He's taken the lesser cosmic fifth and is struggling on towards a kind of sixth lesser. Just the way I think our solar logos is struggling on towards a kind of fifth lesser, at which time I believe he will take a third major and be cosmically, not only cosmically mentally polarized, but he will be a transfigured initiate in the solar logoic line. Okay. Astrologers should here note that in their work they have not duly taken into consideration when dealing with the 12 houses or mansions of the soul whether a planet is sacred or non-sacred. And so there will be, in a sense, we can say there will be sacred houses and non-sacred houses. The effect of the influences of a sacred planet or a non-sacred one are very different, for one will affect primarily the life in the three worlds, whilst the sacred planet will aid in the process of affecting the fusion of soul and personality. So let's look at this difference of consciousness and form, and will also produce a quickening of the intuition, the spiritual soul, which is the lower aspect of the monad, comparing plane 2 to plane 4. Monad plane 2, intuition or spiritual soul on plane 4. All right, so this I feel I have to underline. We're going to look at houses, and there are the houses of the non-sacred planets, and they may be considered to deal more with life in the three worlds. Anyway, the sacred planets they don't ignore life in the three worlds, but it's a question now of taking that life and fusing the personality and body that work in the three worlds with the soul. Fusing consciousness and form, quickening the intuition, and thus, in a way, reaching to the monad just the way the sacred planet is reaching to the monad. I have to put that in. The sacred planet is reaching to its own monad and to a fusion of its monad, soul and personality. This is not the case for a non-sacred planet, which is simply attempting to fuse soul and personality, and the monad is esoterically non-effective. I think that's the word that is, as it is used in the non-sacred planet. The non-sacred planet is simply trying to fuse personality and soul, and the monad is esoterically non-effective. But when you look at the Earth and you look at nature, which is said to be red in tooth and claw, and you look at how the many, many forms on this planet sort of eat and kill and eat each other. You wonder about that first Raymonad at work, always trying to find the best form, better forms. But maybe while it's effective in some way on the outer planes, it's esoterically non-effective. It's not raising the consciousness of the planetary logos beyond the third cosmic degree, where the monad can be really sensed. Oh, it is a deep subject, and he says he will be brief. The sacred planets are, as you know, seven in number. He lists them. Why in this order? Well, he lists them according to their distance. Well, no, he doesn't. These are not listed in terms of distance from the sun, nor in ray order. Not listed in terms of distance from the sun, nor are they listed in ray order. Because in terms of distance from the sun, Neptune would be in number seven position and Uranus in number six position. But there must be something here. The Vulcan, Mercury, Venus are three planets that have a triangle with each other. First, second, and third ray, well, not monadically considered, but sufficiently first, second, and third ray. Or looked at in terms of the soul, first, fourth, and fifth ray. Jupiter and Saturn, Neptune, well, mythologically, they are certainly related. But Uranus is there as well. I think these are all brothers, mythologically. Are they sons of Uranus? My friend and colleague Daryl Fell, who's an excellent mythologist, would know about this. I think my wife, who's deeply into mythological astrology, Tuya, I think she would know about this, but I'm just going to have to let it pass for the moment. They are not listed in order. Venus and Neptune, across from each other, definitely have a connection. Mercury and Saturn are connected on the path of discipleship and at the fourth initiation. Not sure here about Vulcan and Jupiter. If we were to arrange them in ray order, it would be Vulcan, Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, Venus, Neptune, Uranus. That would be ray order. If we were to list them in terms of their distance from the sun, it would be Vulcan, Mercury, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. Uranus is put in a central column for some reason, maybe as some kind of a synthesizing position. It's possible that we're dealing with these planets listed in terms of synthesis, because the first synthetic planet is Saturn, which will synthesize all these others. Then Neptune is generally listed as the next synthesizer, and Uranus as in the position of the first synthesizer, but in our solar system we cannot tell because it's a secondary solar system. So let's put it like this. So this listing could be in what I want to call synthesizing order. Certainly seeing Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus in the last three positions makes me think of this. And I think you can see what I mean when we turn to this one. So it's as if we're looking at a great 5, 6, and 7 here, with the three synthesizing planets, Saturn encountered first, then Neptune encountered, then Uranus encountered. And because they're on the hard line, we see the direct relationship between Uranus and central Saturn, though the greater group of seven schemes might be called the greater Saturn scheme. Well, one day these things will be known. The question is, when will they be useful to such people as we are? The non-sacred planets are only five. Mars, the Earth, and Pluto. You know, why the order? The Moon veiling a sacred planet, and the Sun veiling a... No, Moon veiling a hidden planet, and the Sun veiling a planet. Is it a hidden planet? This hidden planet is not going to be Vulcan. And is the planet which the Sun veils to be considered a hidden planet? It can't be a sacred planet. It's got to be a non-sacred planet, because all of these are non-sacred planets. Well, all right. Let's say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 127B, and we are on page 507. I guess. And we will continue with beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 127C, page 507.